Well, it's that time again on a Friday when AM Live presents another update from the cold face with Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. Welcome back from Tanzania.
Thanks very much.
And from the Serengeti.
Thank you.
Well, we hear that Botswana is making its biggest ever investment, a whopping 25 billion rand, to secure its medium-term economic future.
You know, Botswana's economy hangs on a thin thread. It's a diamond thread. Now, 45% of government income is from diamonds, nearly half from diamonds. And 70% of that Botswana income is from one mine. It's Roneng Mine. It's the most valuable piece of real estate on the planet. There's nothing else on the earth as valuable as this. But this mine has been pumping out these diamonds, pumping out hundreds of carats. But if people did nothing to that mine, it would have ground to a halt in 2017. That's only less than 7 years away. So the government has now got to invest another 25 billion. And then when we say the government, it's the government plus the private sector, mm-hmm. because Botswana mm-hmm. is half owned by De Beers. And this is what they're doing. They're putting 24 million pula into Roneng mine so that when 2017 comes, it will still have 102 million carats, taking it to 2024. But even that is not such a long horizon. So we can see this tremendous mine. It's the Prince of Pipes, and it is almost a lifeline for that country. Now getting an extension of life going to 2024. But what happens after 2024? This is the big Cut 8 project. They have to keep widening this pit and keep deepening the pit. And it's going now from 300 meters to 600 meters with the new cut. And then it'll go with Cut 9 to with the new cut to 800 meters. So they're looking at, again, further extension. But even the Cut 9, the next cut, will only take it to 2030. And beyond that, they might have to go underground. They probably will go underground. So probably this mine will keep pumping into that economy. But it's a clear signal that the economy of Botswana needs diversification.
Yes, yes. Well, the world's biggest ferrochrome producer is to build its long-delayed multi-billion-rand smelter project with a nod of approval from Eskom.
You know, we have in South Africa the world's biggest ferrochrome producer. It is Xstrata. It's listed on the London Stock Exchange, and its partner here is Merafe, which is closely connected to the Bafokeng community. They own 20.5% of it, and it is a fantastic asset. But it came to a standstill as far as growth is concerned in the ferrochrome business from 2007 because of the energy constraint, because Xstrata doesn't just mine the chrome and take it out in raw form, which would be a tragedy for South Africa. It actually beneficiates it. So it uplifts that value many-fold, and then it exports. But to do that, you need a lot of electricity because you've got to smelt all that material. And so they have earned themselves an earn-in as far as Eskom is concerned, because they have started to cut their traditional consumption of electricity. They have saved a lot of electricity themselves through new technology. They've got Primus technology, which is only uses a third, it uses a third less electricity than other peer technologies. So it is able to not only earn its credit as far by cutting back, but it's also now coming in with a plan where it'll generate its own electricity.
I saw that in the business day today.
That's right. Where it will actually produce 600 megawatts, because we have a situation with the business case at the moment to produce your own electricity is good. You can actually do it at a cheaper rate than Eskom can, and they've got their own coal, so they've got discard coal, and they will not do the traditional route of building these massive big power stations. They will go the modular route where you bring in what you need. If you want, looking at 600 megawatts, you can do four 150 megawatt units and then link them up, which is what they're planning, and you get these off the shelf. So you don't have that long building
wait.
Period.
Yeah,
that long
wait.
So all in all, the crisis of electricity has actually brought some benefits, with the people cutting back on the use of electricity and also doing own generation.
Brilliant. Well, with unions demanding a total eradication of mine hostels, Gold Fields has been quick to plough 550 million rand into brand new housing for miners.
Yeah, you know, there are two big decisions taken by the mining industry. The one was taken on June 30. It was a historic joint declaration between business, government and labor, where they said, you know, from 2014, there will be one person per room. This whole idea of hostels must go. And then that was firmed up on September the 13th with the revised mining charter, where they said this becomes law. But Goldfields has been well ahead of the game. I mean, they started 2 years ago with a half a billion rand project to upgrade their housing, upgrade, because more than half their 50,000 workers are migrant workers. Mm-hmm. So, but they've got a combination. They've put up these really attractive brick houses now in Glen Harvey with grass and paving surrounds. I mean, it really looks good. And people pay the princely sum of 10 rand a month for that. And they get the electricity and water thrown in. But at the bigger end, they have started to upgrade their hostels. And in 2006, there used to be six people per room, you know, which was a travesty of justice, non-salubrious. And they have now got that down to two people per room. In fact, on average, it's about 1.6 people per room. But they've got to get that down, like everybody else, to one person per room. But they see this not as an obligation. They see this as a big investment in, you know, that if they make their workers have a much better accommodation, and they look to nutrition, and they've even got gyms, and they've got sports recreation really boosting it, they can get that productivity out of the mines.
Well, thank you very much indeed. That's Martin Creamer, who is the publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. And as usual, he'll be back at the Coalface at the same time next Friday. Thank you, Martin.
Thanks, Ethan.